Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for Banal of America
of America Audio with your host, Tim Banal.
No commercials, no subscriptions, no network, no rules, and at the end of the day, my friends, no comparison. And tonight, no one here gets out alive because we're going to be talking. I think I might have overhyped this. We're going to be talking about the bad guys of ufology, the problems of ufology, the seedy underbelly of UFO research with, if the guy, Royce Myers wasn't using the name already, I would call Jack Brewer the UFO watchdog, because he really exemplifies that role just as much as Royce Myers does. Jack Brewer, the author of The Grays Were Framed, and the man behind the outstanding blog, The UFO Trail. He's been on the show before, but I wanted to showcase him here on the final season because he does just some of the best work in this whole field. And I'm thrilled to get him back on the show. Jack, welcome back to BOA Audio.
Hey, thanks for having me, and I really appreciate the kind words. Thanks, Tim.
I mean it, dude. It's funny because I'm kind of like a jokester in the field and everything, but it's like I expect ufology to not be such a shitty place, and I think you do too, and you go out of your way to, like, show that there's all these fucking problems with it and everything. So, you know, we need more guys like you and Royce Myers and folks like, you know, the UFO watchdog to be watching over these people, because if no one's watching over them, they're going to pull some underhanded stuff, and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, I don't think we can really do much about changing the quality of research that people want to put out there and the quality of claims. I think we can do a better job, though, of helping each other understand what to watch for. Like, that was really my primary motivation when I started writing The UFO Trail. Was I had gotten pretty thoroughly sick of a lot of the stuff I was reading when I dug deeper into it and the things I was hearing. And I just kind of wanted to save some other people the same hassles. And I kind of felt a responsibility that now that I've exchanged emails with some of the people I have and asked some of the questions I have and come to some of the conclusions that I have, I kind of felt a responsibility to share it with other people, because it almost seemed like we were being taken advantage of for being open-minded enough to hear people out in some circumstances.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head, you know, and it's like, I guess I have a bit of frustration in a sense sometimes with ufology, because it's like they can't – I don't know. I think you and me and a lot of listeners to this show and a lot of our friends and stuff, I think that we're sharp enough to see a shitty UFO video and know that it's like just garbage. You know what I mean? So to me, I'm generally just like amused by that stuff. But then you see people who decry it. I guess my example is, like, you know the guy who does UFO Daily or whatever? UFO Sightings Daily? You remember him?
Yeah, yeah.
He shut down his website, and a lot of people were like, good, fuck that guy. And I'm like, come on, guys. If you like just kitschy kitschy sort of like insane ramblings of a person you know is like going off the deep end with his UFO belief. It was a great fucking sight. It was fun. Like, the guy would find a rock on Mars and be like, extrapolate this incredible scenario of like how some ancient civilization lived there. And it's like, dude, that's just a fucking rock, man. Like, I can sit back and laugh about it. So to me, it was like, I think we just need more discerning people. Like, I think people need to exercise more discernment. And, I think you and I, we run in a lot of the same circles. So it's like, we sometimes don't see, you realize it because you're trying to straighten them out. But it's like, it's hard to imagine that there are people who aren't as discerning as us who read this stuff and take it as gospel.
Yeah, I think you're touching on a good point, too, that where do we draw the line between, like, I think Jeff Richman calls it picking the low fruit of, you know, skepticism, and what's valid to be taking apart. And I guess we all have different standards for that, what we think is reasonable. Like, you know, I say that because some of the I even hate to use the word skeptic, because skeptic really shouldn't be a bad word. Like, that's something that we should really encourage, is healthy skepticism, I think.
Absolutely.
So maybe a better term would be like the overly critical people or something. But sometimes, yeah, the stuff they'll dissect, it's like, wow, really? You know, like, who doesn't know that it's not a good idea to, you know, like, ask a Haitian witch doctor for, you know, health advice or
right,
something,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I guess we all kind of have. But then, yeah, like, they could come back and say, well, apparently these people right here, you know. And, yeah, so we it's a valid concern. Where's the line between entertainment and what people are taking seriously? And that seems to have gotten more blurred than ever in our current American culture as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, yeah. We have a fucking reality show host as the president. that's all you need to know about the state of critical thinking in this country. But, before 30% of my listeners turn off the show, we'll move away from politics. So it's, but yeah, I think that to me, it's like, I like the UFO entertainment aspect of it, but at the same time, it's like, I think we sometimes, and I don't speak for you here. I guess I speak for myself and maybe other people, but like, I posted this. You're not on Facebook, right? You're just on the Twitter.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So, there's a Radio Misterioso group on Facebook, and I posted on there because, long story short, my brother and his girlfriend came home, and they were like, they were visiting, and they were like, oh, we watched this crazy movie last night, this crazy documentary on Amazon. It's like, on Amazon Prime. It's like the number one documentary on Amazon right now. It's whatever the Stephen Greer one is. I forget what it's called.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See, this is the point of the question, though, because then I got on the thing. I'm like, has anybody actually seen this movie, like, among us?
Right.
You know, and this is like all the folks that, you know, like Greg and a lot of the folks.
Right, like, we don't even bother with it anymore. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And it's like, by our own, like, making, have we like, got ourselves stuck in the UFO bubble? And maybe we don't even... We don't even know what the actual what people are actually consuming. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Like, the Stan Romanek trial is about to start. It's scheduled. If something doesn't happen between now and next Monday, it's scheduled again to start, you know, this coming week. And the Loveland Reporter Herald, I think, is going to have a story exploring some of the different circles of people that like are really indoctrinated in this stuff, and then there's the casual people that have just watched it on the documentary on Netflix, and then there's the people that just saw something once upon a time sometime in their life, so they want to relate to figures like this, like Stan, and want to believe in him. And yeah, it's a complex social thing that for people like Greer or Romanek to have these documentaries and for so many people to be watching them. And I think you're really right there that at this point, people that have been covering the UFO scene for years and years can't even go back to like what it's like to just watch the X-Files thinking about how they felt after a UFO sighting 25 years ago or something. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, and the responses to the question, has anyone even seen this movie, was ranged from almost all no's to, I didn't even know there was such a movie. And
right.
It's like, this is the number one fucking movie on Amazon or whatever, on iTunes, you know? It's like, so ostensibly, thousands of people are watching this movie. And it's like, we're in kind of a conundrum as serious UFO researchers. It's like, you know, just based on that sort of little sample, it's like, the serious UFO researchers are, they're right to decry this guy's garbage and shit, but at the same time, it's like, we can all probably, it's a safe bet that it's bullshit, but it's like no one even looks at it. And at the same time, therefore, we're not looking at what people are consuming. You know what I'm saying? And then we're mad when they go crazy for crappy UFO stories on the internet. It's like, that's the audience, man.
Yeah.
That's the audience.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I think a really good example of that and how we just get in our thinking and we decide what we know, and that may often be correct too, but it still doesn't give us insight into what other people are thinking and maybe other things going on, is there was a story a few years ago, I'm sure some of your listeners will recall, of Boyd Bushman that was a UFO video. It made the rounds. It hit YouTube. It was put up by some UFO enthusiasts that in Bushman's latter stages of life, this video was 2014 and he's deceased now. He was explaining that he was a scientist with top secret clearances and worked on special access programs at Lockheed Martin. And he claimed that he had a network of like-minded scientists internationally and throughout the industry, some at Area 51, that agreed with him that the veil of secrecy needed to be lifted and there was alien technology and aliens, and you pretty much know the spiel. And we frequently, about this point of the story, whatever it is people believe, are already categorizing it into that idea. And one of the things that will help people remember this particular video was Mr. Bushman held up a photo of an alleged alien and said, like, see, this was given to me by, you know, someone in this network or one of these coworkers or whatever.
Yeah.
And in pretty short order, some internet researchers showed that this extraterrestrial looked strikingly like a figurine sold at Walmart. And so our normally, you know, polar community, the overly critical people, you know, dusted off their hands and said, another, you know, crank in the bin. And then we also had the believers that were saying, well, not so fast. It could have been this. It could have been that. And, I mean, some people were even saying Walmart might be in on the disclosure and,
oh,
you know, all this stuff. Well, we could take stories like that a step further. Like you're saying, what are people thinking? What are they really believing? And challenge ourselves to actually get to the bottom of it by healthy skepticism and critical thinking would dictate to ask some questions maybe about, if this man really believed that, who would give him a photo like that? Like, would they think it's funny? Like, is that what scientists at Lockheed Martin are doing? Like, what's going on with that? So, John Greenwald Jr. over at the Black Vault, he filed an FOIA request to the FBI after Bushman's death, and they did give him two files on the late Bushman, and one of them contained a memo, a 1999 FBI memo, and it indicated that Bushman really did work at Lockheed Martin. He had the security clearances he claimed. He was a senior specialist on special access programs. He was who he claimed to be. And the FBI also acknowledged that Lockheed Martin was concerned ongoing attempt to elicit classified information, government information, and or Lockheed Martin proprietary information was being conducted, that they suspected that Mr. Bushman was being targeted for this, you know, extraction of classified information.
So wait a minute, hold on, let me just, because I'm touch confused. So they thought he was a spy, essentially.
No, they thought not necessarily.
That's where I'm confused. Yeah, or he was being sort of compromised.
They cleared him of wrongdoing, but thought he was being targeted by possible spies. Lockheed Martin did.
Yeah.
And FBI memos showed the investigation that was conducted on some of his contacts that. I wrote about it at my blog, and people could find the files as well that I linked to at the Black Vault. And, yeah, the bottom line is he was probably, at least the FBI and Lockheed Martin suspected he had been targeted to as having loose lips. And so that's one of the things that when people will ask me, well, why would people lie about UFOs? Why would the government make up these stories? I'll try to communicate to them that it's not the end game to fool people about UFOs, but it might be a tool in compromising people with security clearances. Or according to this video, he completely thought this secrecy needs to go, and he believed these people that he knew that pretended, or maybe they were interested in UFOs. But at any rate, we do know that the FBI and Lockheed Martin was concerned about the circles he was keeping and what their intentions were. So the UFO topic as an espionage and counter-espionage mechanism certainly deserves attention. We could cite other cases as well. But my whole point of my shaggy dog story here, and thanks for entertaining it, is that, like you're saying, we don't really even know what the pulse of the public is once we get indoctrinated in our ways of thinking. And with that Bushman story, the overly critical, skeptical community was willing to dismiss it, as were the believers willing to accept it based on this crazy picture, instead of just remaining objective and continuing through the story of what in the world is going on with a situation like this.
Right, right. I wonder where that picture came from. My theory, I guess, is that somebody at Lockheed, like, gave it to him to sort of poison the well. So whoever was trying to compromise him was like, fuck this guy's a nut. He's got an alien. He says they have aliens there. Like,
oh, yeah, that would be one idea. Another would be that it was just a tool of someone that was using the alien picture and the UFO story as a means to try to gain his trust, and then as a result end up talking about the work that he was doing. Like, there's some other stories like that. There was one of a a guy, Vince DiPaolo was his name, that he ended up questioned by the Defense Intelligence Services, and he was involved with UFO circles and had a top secret clearance on satellite systems. And I often wondered, was it because, did he get questioned because they wanted to know who in his UFO circles might have been interested in his work? And just, I don't think that we come at it from that angle enough, as well as any number of other angles we could discuss, which, again, my whole point here is, like you're saying, we get in this mode of how we look at stuff, and maybe we're not even interested in looking at it other ways. Like, if I'm interested in espionage and counter-espionage, maybe I don't even look at Mothman and stuff like that. And then if people are interested in Mothman, maybe they don't even look at the Vince DiPaolo case and vice versa, you know, that kind of thing.
And, right, right. Exactly. And go ahead.
And it's all kind of, it's part of the same overall community, but an argument can be made, too, that it's really not even the same stuff. Like what was going on with Mr. Bushman probably doesn't have anything at all to do with, you know, what we might call a legitimate, unusual UFO sighting, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, it's also, I think, part of the point I was trying to make in the sense is like that, even the people like you and me and a lot of the folks that are on this show and da-da-da-da, you know, the people that listen, it's like, I like to think that we consider ourselves fairly serious, albeit, like, skeptical, you know, students of the UFO phenomenon. But it's like, but you can, there's a sort of, like, double-edged sword to that where you get caught in the bubble and you don't really... And I'm just as guilty as everybody else, so don't misinterpret me, folks. But it's like, I don't have time to watch the Stephen Greer movie. I don't have the constitution to watch Ancient Aliens. But it's like, these are the fucking things people are consuming. So we have, in a sense, because of this fractured media landscape, it wasn't like this in the 80s and 90s, but it's like, we really don't really have a very good understanding of what the public thinks about UFOs, or at least portions of the public, because the UFO consumers are way off the mark from where a lot of us are, you know, in this sort of small community in the bubble.
Yeah, I've never seen an episode of Ancient Aliens, man.
Neither have I. Yeah.
Not one. No.
And I think there's like hundreds. I mean, it's been on forever, and they keep running
right.
Shit, so
right.
Like,
I see blogs all the time that are like dissecting it and analyzing it, and
well, that's
yeah.
I guess good if people are doing that, but we don't know, you know. It's like I said, it all goes back to, like, my brother and his girlfriend, you know, if they didn't know me, they would have watched that fucking movie because I was like, oh, I haven't seen the movie, but it's probably all bullshit. But, like, if they didn't know me, they could have, like, walked away and been like, holy shit, Marilyn Monroe was murdered because she knew about UFOs and shit like that. Like, that was one of the big things in the movie. So it's like, you know, these stories get out there and we don't care because we're like, because I think what it is like we've long since abandoned this ETH thing for the most part, and it seems like everyone's kind of gone off into their own directions of like this thought exercise of what is behind this phenomenon and shit. And it's like, to the general public, the ETH is stronger as it's ever been, you know?
Yeah, and like you're saying about Stephen Greer's documentary, that kind of thing gets enmeshed in communities that might also be kind of countercultural in other ways, like maybe homeopathic, you know, or people with interest in alternative energy, or just general conservationists.
Yeah.
And then these guys will pick up on how to use the language that those communities use, and they'll use some of the same buzzwords and terms. And I bring that up because now that I think about it, exactly what you're saying, a friend of mine approached me telling that doesn't know much about UFOs, telling me a friend of theirs was telling them it's all about suppressing free energy. And what did I think about that?
That sounds
and
like I came said, right from the movie, yeah.
Yeah, I said, oh, you've been, you know, where'd you get the Greer stuff? And they're like, yeah, that, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, and no, you can't just jump on everybody with both feet going, nah, BS.
Right,
what else you got? Because then you're just like the killjoy, you know. And I was in Roswell for the latest anniversary, 70th anniversary, and one of the things I just kept coming back to there was telling people that just my general default is that the best you can do is suspend judgment pending further information. And if you have to believe or not believe, well, then there's a pretty good likelihood it's not real valid information yet, or you wouldn't be getting put in that position.
Yeah.
But really, yeah, that's all you can do is just keep coming back to that, or else you're just constantly going bah, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, we don't want to
yeah.
be those people. Well, I think that's the good part about, you know, I keep going back to this, but sort of like these people in, you know, I think Micah Hanks coined it on the term the on the show, sort of like the ufology exodus, the people like who have sort of like abandoned the old model of ufology. And it's like, we still are fascinated by the fantastic nature of this shit. I think you can
uh-huh.
agree that it's like there's something really crazy going on here. We don't know what it is, you know, so it's like we still... We're not like skeptics who are just like it's all bullshit. Don't offer any, you know, don't offer any sort of countermeasure.
Yeah, yeah. Like, admittedly, the reasons I got interested, I did end up pretty disillusioned about, and I have come to think that for the most part, I do think that the extraterrestrial aspect of it and some of the alien abduction allegations, I've pretty much come to decide that so much of that has been cooked up that you could pretty close to dismiss it, and what you might be missing would be minimal. But that doesn't mean that people aren't sincere or that they aren't seeing something or they're not experiencing things. I just think that they've been so conditioned to interpret what that is that then it even affects the way we tell the story later. And I don't know what people are experiencing, you know. There's a certain amount of, like, if we made a checklist, we could go down it, and certainly some of the explanations would apply, but it wouldn't necessarily cover all the cases. But I do think that, as you're suggesting, there's some that remain that by the definition of the word, remain mysteries, and that is interesting. There, in fact, when I was, you know, at that conference, I kind of ended up with a couple of go-to cases so that I wouldn't always just be telling people, forget about it. And one of them is a case in Charlotte, North Carolina, that I ended up riding with the North Carolina MUFON director at the time, and he had even told me that this case was what began his interest in UFOs. And it was, if people wanted to Google it, I'm sure they could still find information on it, and it would be in the archives of newspapers of the 1970s, was the Snoopy 2 case, just like the Peanuts character, Snoopy 2, because that was the name of a police helicopter And there was a rather dramatic UFO sighting experienced by these two police officers in their helicopter while on patrol. And there was, you know, the radar confirmation at the tower, and other pilots had visual confirmation. And, you know, just by the true definition, an unidentified flying object, actually a couple of them that nobody knew what it was, and it kind of played with this helicopter a bit, and then the two crafts sped away, and they couldn't keep up with them. And so, I mean, that's something that in the 1970s, the pilots couldn't identify, didn't know what it was, and couldn't cause radar paint, and they couldn't keep up with. And so, I mean, like I say, by definition, that's a UFO that we don't know what it was.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so there's plenty, well, not plenty, but there are some. Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking about abductions, it's like, I bet you if there really are abductions, it's probably like 24 at the most, ever, or something crazy like that. Like, that'll be the big surprise. We'll be like, yeah, we've only taken like 12 of you guys. We're aliens, dude. We don't need thousands of humans. We're aliens. We need maybe 12.
Yeah, there was a forum I used to participate on, a discussion forum, and some of those, like, there would be just this wave of, you know, bandwagon of, you know, yeah, me too, me three, and all this stuff. And yeah, I used to joke that like a CIA agent could just go throw a basketball against the side of one of you guys' houses and then watch the forum the next day and see you telling this detailed story about alien abduction the night before, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then everybody jumps in because they don't want to be left out. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They don't want to be left out, and they don't want to they want to appear like they're you know, that it's happening to them too. So they're not out of the loop. It's crazy.
And it's a very strong dynamic, the social dynamics and the way it works. But did you ever hear, do you recall the story of a Dr. Carey Mullis?
It sounds familiar, but I don't know it. I couldn't tell you.
I first came across that one because of Bill Chalker.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him writing about it. And Dr. Mullis won a Pulitzer Prize for his work with DNA, and he later related a story of a series of high strangeness events at a cabin in California. And just bizarro Alice in Wonderland kind of stuff. In fact, the one that stood out in my mind was, one night, Dr. Mullis walked out the back of the cabin, and he says he encountered a glowing raccoon that said, "Good evening, doctor."
Holy shit.
And the next thing he could remember, it was daylight, and he was walking on a road somewhere else. And there's a few things about that, and there were some other events that took place too that are worthy of questioning what was happening. In the same ways we were saying the Dr. Bushman thing, this doesn't necessarily indicate anything other than a mystery that we should try to learn more about if we're interested. But one of the points that could be brought up is it's only the pop culture, the Bud Hopkins, the David Jacobs, that kind of thing, that would even imply there's anything extraterrestrial about what I just described about Dr. Mullis.
Yeah.
And so there's any number of ways we could come at investigating a story like that, even if it's just, you know, quote his tale and put it in, you know, document it. But there's just, I mean, the cultural contamination is just overwhelming at this point to try to tell that without it being alien abduction, you know, and screen memory this and, yada, yada, that none of which has been established other than people like Bud Hopkins just kept repeating it, you know?
Right, right. They kind of invented their own vernacular for this stuff that's, like, not based on any – it's only based on their own shit. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a couple stories, you know, the Snoopy 2 UFOs and Carrie Mullis's glowing raccoon – that are kind of WTF stories, I don't know, you know, mystery by definition. And it really challenges us, kind of like the Bushman story, to not decide our past experience indicates what we're going to uncover about, you know, the ongoing investigation.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting in a sense because, you know, It's funny because we, you know, I get pissed off lately about people who say ufology is dead. It's like, how many times do we have to fucking say that? But the, I think conversely, you know, I think we all kind of pronounced abductions dead. I think that the abduction thing kind of like died out when Hopkins died right at the same time as all the David Jacobs stuff came out. And of course, John Mack was already dead. Once you lost those three big researchers, it was like, it cratered abduction. The whole idea kind of cratered, and what's interesting, I think, is in the last few years, I don't know if you've noticed this. I'm sure there are still people doing abduction research. I know Kathy Martin is, and a few others, but it's like I feel like it's transformed now into almost back to the contactee movement.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you get like. That's why they're calling themselves experiencers now instead of abductees. You know, and I don't
know.
I know Jeremy Vaney does a lot of work with experiences, but I'm talking about sort of like, have you seen like these women that say they have like alien, that say they have alien babies and shit?
Yeah, I have.
It's like it's becoming sort of a thing where it's like there's one like really really cute blonde girl from California who's like a real new agey type, and she's been in a lot of the British papers and shit, probably because she's cute. And it's like, she says she has a shitload of alien babies and, you know, an alien lover that comes and takes her away at times. And it's like, I mean, she may be making the whole thing up because it's like good copy and shit. But at the same time, like if there are other people that clearly are in her mold who I would assume believe this. So it's like something's happening here where it's like, maybe they don't have the Bud Hopkinses and the David Jacobses to guide them to craft the narrative from whatever is happening with them and sort of, you know, steer them into the abduction narrative. And so now they're, you know, interpreting their own experiences and maybe following in the footsteps of these, like this girl and other people, this woman.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, that it is resembling more the 1950s than the 1980s at this point. And what comes to mind with what you're saying, what comes to mind for me is two things. The problems with hypnosis and why aren't investigators pursuing opportunities for forensic evidence?
That's the big one. That's,
yeah.
I mean, I think we don't even need to get into the hypnosis thing. I mean, we've, short of having Emma Woods herself on the show, I mean, we've covered this, the Emma Woods story, like, you know, it's maddening in a sense. And I get the sense from talking to Jeremy from time to time that, you know, I mean, you talk about the people that got all upset, and rightfully so, about the guy in MUFON making those comments on Facebook and shit. And it's like, dude, we got fucking tapes of David Jacobs saying, like, you know, not comments along the same lines as that, but equally insane comments and troubling comments. So it's like,
it like Sean Spicer resigning over a new hire. Like that was the thing that pushed you over the edge?
Right.
I hear you, man. Yeah. Like who was still on the MUFON bus that what that guy said would have said, next stop, I'm off? Yeah.
Yeah, well, have you been following the new one lately from this new guy, another guy quit? because of Jay-Z Knight's involvement in MUFON?
I just read about it a couple nights ago, and I'm semi-interested in the Jay-Z Knight thing because I find, like, riding past a car wreck, I find the cultism intersecting with ufology fascinating. And that's like we were saying about Stephen Greer. He can use some of the language that might be picked up by some of the conservation movements and whatnot. Yeah, you do see some of the same language and vocabulary terms and whatnot that can cause some of the new agier groups and UFO groups to kind of enmesh and come together almost like newfound churches or something.
Yeah.
And so I'm sort of following it, but what else you got on it?
Nothing really, in a sense. I'm just kind of like amused, as you are, by the car wreck aspect of it, in a sense, with MUFON, just like, I'm with you, man. I've been, you know, I've considered MUFON a joke for fucking years, you know?
Right.
For me, it was like the get-off-the-bus moment was when the director of MUFON was on The Daily Show, and they just made him look like a complete asshole, and it was like, all right, I don't even want to, you know? These people are embarrassing me by association, you know? That's how bad they are. And that was like a few years ago. Even before then, I was like, it's just a crusty old organization. It's harmless. But now it's like becoming more and more I feel like this is the year. This is a very scandalous year. They're under a lot of fire for their symposium because it was like all about the secret space program, and people are like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, I thought we were a scientific based UFO organization. Now we're that goes back to like the UFO entertainment thing. It's like, if they want to be a UFO entertainment entity and produce TV shows and shit, then just do that. But don't.
Yeah,
don't,
that's what Robert.
Tell me it's raining.
Yeah, Robert Schaefer has said, too, that if they just drop the claim of science, then that's what I'm paraphrasing here, that he's kind of said, you know, they just should stop claiming they do something other than provide, you know, facilitate telling UFO stories. And I agree with that. I think a point that can be made about hypnosis is it claiming you're conducting scientific study and using hypnosis as an investigative tool are mutually exclusive of one another. And you can't do both. So if that's not my opinion, that's, you know, the current mental health paradigm and the scientific paradigm that you're saying, that doesn't even require discussion anymore. That ship is so sailed. So they can't claim to do both. It's mutually exclusive. And then with the forensics,
I got off on a rant there, but yeah, that's
what
that's
okay. Because those are valid points. And I mean, spit in a tube for crying out loud, somebody. You know, let's get a line on. I mean, we're literally putting people on stages claiming that they're ET human hybrids.
Right.
I'm not going to even get into the legalities of such a thing because I don't know them. I'm not qualified. I'm not an attorney. I don't know what you know, kind of problems there are with that, but I'm just dumbfounded. I'm obviously even lacking vocabulary here for how that would be the next step rather than just have a medical examination, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's hilarious in a sense, and it's also absolutely fucking ridiculous because it's like somewhere in this people's minds, they come to the conclusion that they are an alien hybrid or they had an alien baby that was taken away from them. And it's like they get to a crossroads and instead of like going down the route, like, hey, can I get more science, like, can I get more medical information about this? Am I going to be okay? Like, you know what I mean? No one fucking, it never dawns on them. You know, they just go right to the stage.
Hey, everybody, my mom's a dinosaur, and I'll be talking about it this Saturday at the library. Be there.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Like, that would be the next thing to do, you
yeah,
know?
Whose mind works that way? These people, apparently. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean yeah.
You could even understand it more in years past, like you were comparing it to the 50s, and I brought up the 80s. But now, scientific understandings and investigative techniques have surpassed the narrative. It wouldn't be a mystery to find out what someone's mom was, or to find out if there had been a miscarriage, and to possibly, and to find out what some of the characteristics of the alleged missing fetus may have had. Tests can be done that moms, or you know the hosting female could find out information possibly sometimes decades in the past, and instead we're just talking about it. And
right.
Yeah, it is an insult to intelligence, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we had Tyler Coke John on the show. We kind of made a grandstand challenge where it was like, somebody fucking step up. If you're a hybrid, step up or shut up. That should be the policy on these folks. It's like, you know, prove it with the fucking science that we have available that can prove it, or shut the fuck up. There's really no two ways about it. But then the thing it comes back to, Jack, is they sell tickets, man. They sell tickets. They sell shit somehow. And it's, you know, it's not the folks listening to this show. It's not the folks reading your blog. It's like that general audience is, you know, I see a lot of cries for, like, we need to develop a serious sort of vein of ufology. There is a fucking serious vein of ufology. Like, we don't need to put a name on it. It's just people who take it seriously. And it's like,
yeah,
there's no, you can't compete with the entertainment, man. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I think that gets us back to what I said about we really can't do anything about a nonprofit corporation that sells tickets and puts space program fantasies up for people that want to come hear about them.
Yeah.
We can try to encourage one another, like we're doing during this show. You and I are kind of supporting each other, encouraging one another, and hopefully a few listeners as well, to be more discriminating and to be part of the solution and not the problem in spreading stories. And I think that does come back around, too, to some of us aren't really interested in the more incredible, the less credible stories. Where I, at this point, am interested in the social dynamics and the way the topic has been exploited and what those purposes may have been.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty fascinating, too. And then the public is kind of a collateral damage byproduct in the process.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have charlatans and opportunists that jump on the bandwagon of the momentum that's created. And, yeah, then it's just really a whole hodgepodge of a traveling circus that is just a fascinating social chain of events.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure, yeah. Yeah, it's like I don't want to be in the audience of the circus. I want to, like, kind of be outside the tent or, you know, on the edge of the tent, I guess inside, because you want to see what's going on. But it's like,
that's a great analogy. It's like wanting to see the puppet masters.
Or to be backstage at the circus. That's probably maybe even the best way to put it. It's like, because to me, I get why people like all this shit, and it's like... But it's just crazy. It's just kind of crazy in a sense. Like, I stress this all the time. It's like, you can't, you know, if you were saying, it's like, we can't do much about this organization putting on a secret space show. What you can do, folks, is vote with your dollar, man. Like, don't fucking go.
Absolutely.
If you're really
absolutely
like, good for the people who are in the organization who left. If you're, you know, if you disagree, leave. You know, don't give them the time or the money. That's the only way you can make an impact.
Yeah, it sure is. They'll, as long as something works, then someone will continue doing it. Like, there's a podcaster that for years has sent out emails soliciting cash for various what he'll term temporary emergencies, and these have gone on to the tune of like two a week for years. And, you know, as long as something like that works, apparently, you know, if people will give, then why stop? I mean, would be one way of looking at it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of what you're talking about. You've been tracking this on Twitter for the year. Which I love. What's the total number of emails sent out by this podcast?
Not
personal crises.
Not counting just your standard
what during the program.
yeah. Not counting since I got on the phone. About 71 last I looked, and we're in what week 29 or 30, something like that, of 2017. And I first started kind of watching this a few years ago now, because I'd have people I knew saying, wow, can you believe this guy? And a few people, more than a couple, started forwarding the emails and going, he just asked for money for this like 6 months ago, and he's saying that it's happened again. You know, it might be housing or cars. And my interpretation is the thing that upsets people about it is that many of us, if not all of us, have known people or many of us have experienced what we might term real problems ourselves. And I mean serious illnesses and, you know, just tragedies that befall people. And it seemed to me that that's what was frustrating people, among other things. What I felt was getting expressed to me was their frustration with that, like, groceries cost money, send me some, you know. You know, his deal. And he'll vilify the landlord, and when he's, like, made it public that he enters into these agreements without the money to pay, and then we'll send out letters asking his supporters for money because he makes the landlord out to be unreasonable to expect the money that he said that he would pay. And then this week I even got an email forwarded to me from a former donor, someone that told me they did give him money once, and they sent me this because they had seen that I had kind of followed the situation, and they wanted me to be aware that apparently former donors get extra emails in addition to the ones that I've been aware of. That
they're like
this person,
an unfortunate second tier subscriber.
So yeah, this person indicated to me that the language used in these former donor emails are along the lines of they might could facilitate a miracle again, and keep the dream alive kind of thing.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah, yeah.
just like, wow.
Like you came through once, now can you do it again? Come
yeah, on. Yeah. And so, again,
it's
what...
Like you get, if you ever donate to, like, a political campaign, you know.
Yeah. Like or you're, like, giving to the children with cancer or
right.
something. Yeah, was
the
kind of language. Was what I interpreted that frustrate people about the situation is that an underlying theme is just life's it's just unfair that the individual has to pay for these things and he should just have more money, and that I felt like it was being expressed to me from the people that received these emails that he felt just unusually entitled to their generosity and their sympathy for conducting his podcast or whatever it is he feels he contributes to the genre. And so understandably, people are, you know, like if I were to take that approach, I would understand if people were like, well, here, I got a deal for you, Jack. I'll take care of the UFO trail a while, and you can drive this rig of plants to Canada. Will that work? You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
We can trade, okay, if
yeah.
that's so hard. And so, yeah, it's been an ongoing thing. It's gone on for years. It's amazingly just, I mean, part and parcel of the traveling circus we were discussing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's... I laugh, but, folks, it makes me angry because it's like, dude, if you're sending out 71 fucking emails in a year already begging for money, get a fucking job, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Just get a fucking job, man. Like, I don't care how old you are. You get out of fucking Walmart, they got, like, an 80-year-old dude in the door greeting people, you know? Just get a fucking job, man. Like, people, you know, folks... This show practically disappeared last year. You want to know why? Because I didn't have fucking any money, and I got a fucking job. You know?
Other things
like,
to do, yeah.
Yeah. That's really what gets my goat. It's like, come on, man. You know? You got to have priorities in life, dude. And it's like, if you have to beg for money because you won't do anything but do a podcast, it's like... Well, the problem is the fucking podcast then, dude. Like, stop doing your podcast and go get a job, you know, and try and do the podcast when you can. You
yeah,
know? So
there's...
And keep the lights on.
And while he paints it with... He tries to add these stories of hard times or unforeseeable circumstances... It's my interpretation, the way the people describe it that forward the emails to me, that they grew tired of it because, as you're saying, the general theme of it is that there's something unique to this guy about needing to just figure out how to create income and live within your means. You
right.
know, well, you and everybody else on the planet, man, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like, I passed around, like, a GoFundMe for my buddy Bernie because he was having a hard time. And it was like, I told him, I'm like, dude, I'm happy to help you out. But if this becomes, like, an every month thing, then I'm out, dude. You know, like, I get that you're in a bind right now and I want to help you out. And I hope other people do, too. And they did. Folks were awesome and they helped him out. But it's like, I ain't going to be passing that shit around every month.
Well, that's
you know,
the problem.
Someone getting in a bind. You know?
That's the problem with the exploitation, is then when someone has legitimate you know, hey, man, you know, you got a few bucks till Friday, then people are already turned off to it, you know.
Exactly.
And it hurts
other people who are either hurting and do need money or who want to.
Yeah, or like it's reasonable to like say, hey, here's my book. Could you float me a few bucks? Or it's reasonable to say, hey, we keep this website going 24/7 year round. Here's the tip jar. All of that's reasonable to do. If you appreciate our work, how about pledging a few bucks a month? All of that's reasonable. And then when someone comes along that the public perceives as unreasonably trying to take advantage of it, it sours it for everybody that is behaving reasonably.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've never been on that podcast because I've been pretty vocal about the antics. So
I was invited, and I declined. I told them that for a few reasons, I didn't respect the way that the show operated and some things it had done. And it's not something that I'll be participating in either.
Yeah, yeah. What irritates me is people who know about the whole thing and who still go on the show and everything. To me, it's like, that's kind of hypocritical. Like, just because you're not fooled by the emails and stuff. And you know, you've made a really good point. I've seen you writing about this somewhere. It was like, you know, even if all this stuff is true, well, even if, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt, let's say that all this is incredibly difficult. Long personal crisis is on the up and up and really happening. It's like you're asking us to give money to someone who's demonstrably been financially irresponsible for all this time. Like you can't get
on
the feet, and you want us to. You don't enable people like that, folks.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's a great point. That if the whole thing's up and up. What reason would I have to believe that a few bucks would help?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's been going on forever, so it's like, you know. Anyway, all
right.
We're going to move on from that. So, but Jesus, yeah, yeah. So if you get any emails, folks, I'll probably be getting an angry email. But hey, man, it is what it is.
We all have to decide, we do, what we shrug our shoulders about or where we draw the line, and you just got to make up your own decisions.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, what's going on with the Romanek trial? Because I know you've been following this, and people, it's funny, we talked about Stephen Greer earlier, and it's like Romanek has a movie on Netflix now, and there was an article. I'm sure you saw it. It was great. It was like it was like man on trial for child porn has documentary on Netflix. It was like that's the worst kind of advertising you possibly could hope for your movie.
Yeah.
But he's due. The trial's going to start next week, theoretically.
Yeah, this coming Monday, I do believe it is July 31st. Right there in Loveland, and yeah, he's charged with you know, everybody's well, I guess maybe
yeah, give
everybody's
me the rundown, 'cause I need
not
a refresher,
aware
like on what the charges specifically are that he's facing. If I mean you don't have to dig it
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
it
was possession and distribution of child porn. And it was, as the Loveland Reporter Herald reported, it was associated with multiple images on a computer taken and seized from his home. Follow the Reporter Herald for more information. Sam Lounsbury is on Twitter. He's going to be covering the case, and I expect he'll have an article coming up soon about it. It's been several years ago that Romanek was arrested. I think 2014, if memory serves.
Yeah, it's been kind of winding.
When the warrant was first served, and There were understandably, or maybe not understandably, but predictably, the Romanek inner circle has been touting conspiracy theories and saying he was set up to discredit him. Of course, critics are not particularly bought in for a couple reasons. One, he did a pretty good job of discrediting himself before any of this came along.
Right.
As well as for a conspiracy theory to be validated, it requires verification more than just somebody could have set him up. You have to show who did and why. So it's difficult to buy into the conspiracies lock, stock, and barrel. But nonetheless, they've accused Loveland detective that actually served the warrant was called into question by Team Romanek, but he's since been cleared of some charges and allegations in another unrelated case. And also what gets left out of those conspiracy narratives is the Loveland Police Department was acting on information provided by the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
So you'd have to go a lot deeper than just pointing the finger at the Loveland detective. Koopman was his name, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. This isn't like a conspiracy by the local cops, I would assume. If it is, I really don't think it is, but it's like.
Right. And
say
so.
It's a conspiracy. This has to be.
Yeah,
a
and so then, like, people
conspiracy.
Were saying, well, what does DHS have to do with that? Well, everything. That's one of the biggest things they work on is. Child exploitation and human trafficking, and it's not unusual in the least that would be arise during one of their investigations and that they'd alert local police while they moved on to some other things.
Right.
And in fact, dozens if not hundreds of people a year are arrested and convicted by Homeland Security's investigative arm, which is ICE, for child porn and human trafficking related charges. It's a very common thing.
Yeah.
So he deserves his day in court, of course.
Absolutely.
And he wants it. We can, however, look at his UFO narrative and see holes in it big enough to drive a truck through. And his credibility was already lacking. And it's tough on him at this point. You know, if you apply critical thinking, one really doesn't have anything to do with the other. Not necessarily, at least as far as the court is concerned. Like, can these charges be proven? And if allegations of being set up are made, can those be proven? Is really, as far as I understand, what it would come down to.
Yeah.
Yet, as we were talking about how these UFO gurus, for lack of a better term, try to enmesh other things into their narratives, I really thought a good example of this was in one of the stories I read about this, that it said the reporter Harold stated that when Koopman served the warrants, I interpreted the way it reported this, that Romanek tried to lead the discussion into UFO fringe stuff and told Detective Koopman that I have some sensitive documents that people might get in trouble for releasing. And Koopman's reply was something to the effect of, I'm not here for sensitive government documents. And I thought, good for him, for like just, we're just going to nip that crap right in the bud here. You know, that this ain't about alien hybrids, man. Okay, you know. And
is that like, yeah? Is that when he tried to run away too? Did he try to fucking run away at first?
I don't know. Oh. No, I think you're thinking about 2 weeks after he was arrested and charged, he showed up at a local hospital claiming the police had jumped him.
Okay, I do remember hearing.
Yeah, he was banged around and beat up, and I did get the police file on that, and the detective in the case suspended the case for lack of suspect information, and he was more than clear that he thought the crime scene was staged. He did.
I read the police report. It was really kind of weird. It was like, yeah, it was like the glasses were a certain way. There's certain like tells to the scene that made it.
And he said it doesn't look like a fight occurred. And so there's. You know, I mean, he's just his own worst enemy at times. And, of course, people could say, well, of course that's what the police would say. They beat him up. But, you know, that kind of, like, being a self-respecting conspiracy theorist myself.
There you go. Nice.
Those are the conspiracy theories that give us a bad name. See, there's not some they at the police department. Like, everybody from a detective to a police officer on the beat isn't just on the same page about let's jump Romanek, you know?
Right.
And so you really got to give us something more substantive here than the police did it, you know? I mean, that just gives us conspiracy theorists everywhere. They come up with good NSA docs and stuff about, you know, the shenanigans within the UFO topic, that gives all of us a bad name when you just float this nonsense out here.
Yeah. It's like, I highly doubt the police would, like, beat up this dude, especially because he was kind of a high profile, for lack of a better term, like, arrest, you know. I'm sure by then it had already been out there. So it's like, they would never fucking do that. You know what I mean? It's like that would be a terrible idea.
Yeah. Like one person I interviewed, the filmmakers actually a few years ago of the documentary, and their stance on it was like, well, I can't say he's innocent because I don't know, but they did kind of take the, and I'm paraphrasing here, but one of them did kind of take the stance of, but if you think you're being watched, it would be really stupid to be committing those crimes. And I just quoted him and went with it because I didn't feel like debating it or arguing. Like, I asked the man his thoughts. If that's his thoughts, well, then that's his thoughts.
Yeah.
But what I did think when he said that was, well, one, that's not how addictive behavior works. Like, people are on parole for being heroin addicts all the time that go stick needles in their arms, you know?
Right.
I mean, you don't just not do something because you're under surveillance if you're addicted to it.
Yeah.
Another thing is, You also don't cease it if you don't really believe you're under surveillance.
That's the other part. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like if you're scamming about believing your house is bugged, then, you know, I mean, it's just a false premise. Like, right. And like, see, the deeper we get into these if this, then that really don't make sense, when it all is going to, the further we get from the truth, when it all is really going to keep coming back to, he never could prove the abduction stories. And the more he tried to give us what he would call evidence, it often seemed the deeper he would get himself into convoluted areas that made him look even less honest. That would be one interpretation.
Yeah, well, there was that whole thing where you had that video where you could see him, like, throwing a pen, and he acted like it was, he acted like it was an alien or something. He's like, I don't know how that just happened. I don't know how, it's like,
Something paranormal's supposed to be going on because he's throwing stuff around the room. Then, did you know that he, like, talk about leading with the chin. He threw gas on that fire when he later claimed he discredited himself on purpose in that video because he was threatened to do it or something bad might happen to him or loved ones.
That's a good one. I'll give him credit for creativity on that.
That some sleepless nights came up with that one, I would say.
That's a rollover in bed and jot that one down. That might work. That one might work. It's like, dude, really? Oh, man.
So we're always going to come back to that kind of thing, that you know, what does critical thinking dictate? And then with the actual criminal charges, what kind of evidence is going to be presented? And then what kind of counter evidence of why it should be ignored or you know, not trusted.
Yeah,
and that's really all it's going to come down to. And the problem, as demonstrated when Detective Koopman said, you know, metaphorically, you can just save that crap, I'm not here for UFO documents, is the UFO community thrives on convoluting stuff and going down these trails out into the weeds that really have nothing to do with the issue at hand.
Yeah.
You know? And the Romanek story, like, epitomizes it in all its shame or glory, depending on the perspective.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we'll look back on this whole thing when it's all said and done as, like, sort of a textbook. Like, look at that, sort of like some of the things we don't like about ufology, in a sense, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was you, but I know I had somebody on the show and we were talking about this, and it was like right after it happened, his wife, like, made a post about it or something on Facebook, and some idiot in the comments was like, the UFO community stands with you, Stan. All of us do. You have our heart. And it's like, dude, speak for your fucking self, man. Like the UFO community does not stand with this guy. Like, let him have his day in court. Sure, but it's like, until then, you know, I'm all set, man. I'm hands off. Like, I never really had much of an opinion on the guy in the first place. So it's like, you know, to me, it's like, Jesus, dude, these UFO people, they're you know. He could walk down Fifth Avenue and shoot someone, they'd still vote for him, you know? That's kind of how
absolutely. That's why, yeah, like the Romanek case, even before the criminal charges, just epitomizes the fear of letting go of anything. That, like, it doesn't matter how many times a person is shown to be acting in a less than sincere manner, or how many stories don't pan out, or how many times something is promised that doesn't come through, there will be people saying, well, wait, that doesn't really mean that he wasn't abducted by aliens. And that's, again, an example of wandering out in the weeds that, like, well, we can't prove somebody was or wasn't abducted by aliens in these roundabout ways. Like, can he either present evidence or not? Like, whether he makes a fool out of himself or not in an interview just keeps making it worse, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, it's like, you know, are you familiar with the Chilean UFO case from at the beginning of the year?
I am not.
Okay,
no,
well,
sir.
It was like the Chilean government released a UFO video, and it was like Leslie Keene wrote a big piece about it on Huffington Post, and it was, at first, when I first saw it, I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. You know, it's cool that a government's looking at this. This is a really great, you know, interesting case. And it, like, fell apart within, like a week. But it like, but if I was a lunatic true believer, I'd be like, and there are people who, you know, who did respond this way. They were like, no, you're a debunker. You're a debunker for showing that this was actually
evidence of the cover up. Yeah.
Right. And it was like, no, dude, these folks did a legit job looking at this video and figuring out exactly that this was a plane based on the triangulation of the aircraft on the radar, from the timestamp of the fucking video that got released. It said open. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, well, all right, that's done. That's not a UFO case. It's like, we need more people who can just do that. Like, just let it go. If it's not good, let it go.
Yeah, I do recall that now. And we were talking earlier about just your mind's already made up and, we're not exempt from it. I'm guilty as charged. When I saw Chili and Leslie Kane, wasn't interested, because of the history. There.
Right. Yeah, I found out eventually after I first was like, holy shit. Then when I heard more about what's gone on in the past with that, that's when I was like, oh, I should have known that ahead of time. Then this is... There's a lot of problems here with that. They already had one case, a very similar thing happened a few years ago.
What's bad about that, she's among the ones that are, like, if you look at these Reddit threads, and now and then people say, well, hey, what should I read that's credible? She's often one that's mentioned,
she's highly, well, you know what it is, and this is not like a slight against her or anything like that, but it's like the people, and you mentioned this actually in the book, The Grays Were Framed, but you mentioned it in the case of like intelligence people, but it's like the gist of it is it's like anyone who comes to the table with some kind of pedigree is immediately like elevated in the eyes of ufology. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's like Paul Hellyer. Leslie Keene was like an investigative reporter for like the Boston Globe, I think, and a couple other big newspapers.
So
she's like, oh, she's an investigative reporter for the Boston Globe. She's elevated up, So it's like the people who come at it with any kind of like credentials, especially like anyone who's like had any kind of like government job that sounds, hefty. If it's like it's just someone who's like, I'm a mailman, no offense. Like, they're not going to be like, but if like, you could be working at some place and have like a top secret clearance for something completely unimportant. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You get top secret clearance to work on God knows what. But then it's like, he had a top secret clearance with the government, so what he says about UFOs matters. It's like he had a top secret clearance because he was working on the toilets in the submarines, dude. Like that's all he had the top secret clearance for.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, I mean, we see this a lot around the UFO community too. Is you get used to talking on podcasts and doing some interviews, and you have a blog and people will ask you some things, whatever. And I can empathize with people might just fall into the habit of answering questions when they're asked. But absolutely. I mean, sometimes the answer is I'm not qualified to know that, man. I just write a blog. And you asked me about the Travis Walton case? Well, I don't know. I read the book like everybody else. Other than that, how should I know,
Yeah.
And that's a great point that they start talking about Cold War projects. And I was sharing some information with a guy that's interested in the Unit 731 and some of their activities and how after World War II, some of the most notorious from that was a Japanese chemical weapons testing and other unethical and just horrid things were granted amnesty in the U.S. And I was sharing some information with a person that was interested in it. And we had seen where another blogger was writing about, you know, well, allegedly this and that and the other happened with Unit 731. And, like, it ain't nothing alleged about it, man. It happened. And just because you blog about UFOs doesn't make you an, you know, authority on every topic that comes up. Like you're saying, if someone's a historian or they have a top secret clearance, you know, decoding and sending messages at an Air Force base or something, doesn't make them qualified to explain what happened at Rendlesham or something, you know? I mean, not in and of itself. And that's a really good point. I think we're always going to come back to that the best we can do sometimes is just suspend judgment pending more information. And as one of my friends once said, and what we know about UFOs could fit on the back of a postcard, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, more than 30 people in Stephenville, Texas, say they saw a UFO. You believe them?
Tony Kornheiser, believe them. What do you think was up there getting probed?
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
So, you know, the webpage or whatever is just something that you guys do for fun. Do you have a real job?
Well, that is our job.
Oh.
We don't technically get money for the hours we put in, but it is our job.